Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
There's something happening here, but it is, ain't exactly clear. I don't know what it is. Here it is on Wednesday morning. Roger, somebody, I can hear you coming over there, man. Somebody needs to mute themselves. It's Wednesday morning. Alan Zeifer and his wife, Tammy, left yesterday about, I don't know, must have been close to noon. And just now kind of getting my life back in order. My wife and I try to get our life back in order and not complaining. Great to have everybody here. It's great. Golly, they all did so many little odds and ends around our house to get our house. I don't fix stuff very well. I don't fix stuff at all. And it was great to have all those folks come around, pitch in, try to help us out a little bit on our house, screen doors, different little things like that. But the truth is, Chad and Michelle Estes rolled in last night at, last week on Wednesday evening. We picked them up and went out to Five Guys Pizza. No, Five Guys, whatever that thing's called, Five Guys Hamburgers. That was Wednesday, and today's Wednesday, and it was 7 days. How do I say this? Make it sound okay. Whenever somebody's around your house, whenever you have guests, you can't relax because you're trying to take care of your guests, and we love taking care of our guests. Don't take this wrong. But from Wednesday till yesterday at noon, we had someone. We had guests, and last night, I got to tell you, I hit the bed, man, kadoom, about I don't even know what time it was, and just trying to get our lives back together here. A lot of stuff to catch up on. Please don't anybody think I sound like a complaint. You're all welcome to come. I'll do it again this weekend. No complaints. Just the reality of it. You know how it is when you're always concerned about your guests. Are they comfortable? What do they need? All of that. And then I got to fly out to Oregon tomorrow morning, of all things, and do a boot camp out there with Tim Tuber. Chad S. is going to go with me, and I'll get back. I don't want to give out too much information when I get back, but I'll be back in a bit and try to. Now I got my brother from Azerbaijan's flying in with his family. I haven't seen them in about 5 years. They're going to be here all next week, and so tough catching my breath here a little bit, if you're picking up what I'm laying down. And, hey, Jared, throw it up there real quick. Again, those of you out there on the left coast, we are going to be in Oregon, Scio, Oregon, with Tim Tuber. He's got a group of folks out there, and we're going to do a couple-day ministry out there. And, you know, it's the West Coast, so flight times are so screwed up, and coming home on the red eye. And so I'm not going to be here tomorrow morning because I have to fly out. I probably shouldn't have told everybody that. But we don't want you to miss it because it's really important. Jared, I'm sorry. I'm talking in circles here again. Did you throw it up here on the screen for us? Oh, dude, I'm sure you did. There you are. regional huddle out with at Scio, Oregon. There's Tim's contact number. Contact Tim Tubra. Although we don't have a phone number for him. I don't know how you contact him. Maybe if you scroll down a little bit below. And we're going to try to wake up. There it is. There you go. There you go. There's some information. Contact Tim. RSP at Stand for What You Believe In, gmail.com. Hotel. Speak Tim Tuber. Chad's going to be there. Meals, fellowship, 3 days, fellowship fun, yada, yada, yada. Be this weekend. Come and join us. Mike Heath's matrimony guy. Schedule screw up, but I know Mike's still following through. Mike and Polly and Larry Richardson's going to go up there and be part of it. So if you want to be part of it, hey, Mike, come in here, Mike, because they can do can't they kind of do like a Facebook Live thing at that as well, Mike? Can't they connect in there? Is Mike in here or Polly, somebody? Help us out here. Can they not be part of that event without having to go there?
Yeah, I'm here, Coach. Yeah. My original vision for that was that it would be primarily a social networking event, so people can do it from home. The purpose of it is to honor marriage and stand in the face of the Supreme Court's destruction of civil marriage four years. But honor your parents. You know, Polly and I are preparing now to stand on the Supreme Court steps with my phone and do a Facebook Live, and we're going to honor my parents who've been married over 50 years, her parents, her dad is passed now, who are married over 50 years, and we're going to give a few details and we're going to honor them on this amazing.
I'm not hearing you, Mike. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's just on my end or not. You went dead on me. There, I hear you.
Hey, we're hearing Mike. Yeah.
It's just on my end, huh? Just on my end.
You're glitching on your internet, Coach, today for some reason, locally, I think. So to finish my point, so we're going to give a little bit of detail about those two marriages of our parents that lasted over 100 years combined. And, you know, the Supreme Court is destroyed. One vote, majority. Eliminated civil marriage. I learned yesterday, I thought it was over 20 states, Coach, but it's over 30 states that passed constitutional amendments or statutes prior to that ruling that defined marriage as one man, one woman. It's unbelievable how much power that big gay lobby has.
It's judicial tyranny. It's tyranny by for sure. So the states, 40, I think it's almost 40, Mike, 40 states had passed marriage amendments to their constitution, 40. And judges by 5-4 overturned all of those. All of those were overturned 5-4. So, yeah, there is some power. See, I think it's demonic power in that gay lobby. Demonic power. But we're beginning to wake up. And, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing's dead as long as we're still alive and got some fight in us. And if you remember, the Supreme Court once ruled that women were not able to vote. They also once ruled that a black person was 6/10 of a human being. So the fact that something has been decided by the Supreme Court does not make it law, no matter how much they want to tell us that it is. So thanks, Mike. So folks, here's how you can, Mike, can they join by Facebook? I never did get the answer on that thing. Are they able to come in on Facebook and Facebook Live? Is there any way they can connect from where they live?
Yeah, the best thing to do is go to michaelheath.org and click on Matrimony Day God's Way. Everything is explained there. Very simple. Just go on your phone or on your computer and go there. Also wanted to mention, Coach, real quick, Americans for Truth is holding a rally. They're going to have a lot of speakers. My event starts at 10. Theirs starts at 10:30. Both are on the steps of the Supreme Court. So if you have folks who are close who could get there, please let them know about it and urge them to attend. It's next Wednesday, June
20th. Yeah, Thursday I'm wondering, and apologize for that. So thanks, Mike. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I dig into some stuff here? Any loose ends about anything that we want to try to tie up? I spent a lot of times on the homo thing the last couple of days, but folks, I really believe that's one of the tips of the spear in the destruction of Western civilization, the destruction of marriage, destruction of the family. It is certainly the tip of the spear. So it's not something that we do because we hate the gays. Nothing to do with that. Can you think of anything else, any other group, any other organization, any other whatever? It has its entire month to celebrate its debaucherous behavior. How about this? Well, I guess we have Black History Month, don't we? See, everything's minority, isn't it? Black History Month, Gay Pride Month. What about Christian History Month? Is there one of those? We have a Christian. Is there a traditional marriage month? We celebrate one of those anywhere? No, we're not. So,
hey, Coach.
We have to understand what's going on, stand up and fight about it a little bit. Yeah, come on back. Come on in.
They should change June to Christian month instead of Pride month. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Christians would fight over, we would fight over the organization of it and where it was going to be and who was going to be part of it and what was going to be the lead doctrine and who got to say the prayers and who, which choir got to sing, and we'd have a big old fight. We wouldn't be able to pull together and make all this stuff happen. So, hey, listen, last night, Jared, go to an Equal Justice Tour. Now, I sent a text to Mark Trump this morning. I don't know if he got it. I mean, is Mark in here today? He may not be. He may not be up. He may be traveling. He may be doing something. Folks, I'm going to have Mark Trump and Matt Siskevich. I think I got it right that time. We're going to talk tomorrow a lot about the Equal Justice Tour because that's coming up on July 6th. We're going to go back. And Jared's throwing the website up there for us. If you get a chance, go listen to the replay last night of Doug Hagman's first hour of his show, The Hagman Report. Because Doug laid out again, folks, we cannot let this woman go unpunished. We just can't. We can't let it happen. And Doug's show for an hour was, it had me pounding on the table saying, amen. Because right after I was done pounding on the table that I went to bed, Doug Hagman is all in and he is pushing this as much as anybody can push it. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about tomorrow is we have organized and are organizing as we saw them. I showed you last week that about 19 members of the House of Representatives called for Hillary's indictment, special prosecutor, a year ago. In fact, I believe it was June 20th. I'll have to check that video. The group of them got together, had a press conference, and called for her indictment a year ago. So here we are a year later with our Equal Justice Tour, and more evidence is coming out every day. Doug Hagman laid out, he laid it out last night. It was unbelievable. Of the crimes that Hillary Clinton has committed. And so I know we're over the target. I know that we're pointing our, figuratively, we're pointing our guns in the right direction. That until Hillary Clinton is brought to justice, there can be no justice in America. There can't be any. Now I'm going to say this again. I encourage you to go back and listen to Doug Hagman's show last night. He is all in. We are going back to Chappaqua on July 6th. And we would love for some of you to join us. We have a lot of organization going on behind the scenes. Matt Siskavich is doing it. Mark Trump is doing it. We have others that are doing it. And every day we update the Equal Justice Tour Facebook page. Let's go there again, Jared, if we can. I got to get our group organized here. My fault. Don't anybody take it wrong. We got to get some information on the Equal Justice Tour website. But Polly Heath is doing remarkable work, keeping new things fresh on the Call for Equal Justice website. There it is. It's on your page now. The Hagman link is already there. Got good work, Polly, or whoever did that. Scroll on down a little bit, Jared, because I'm going to show you something. Here's the call script that we're going to have people. We're going to train you on how to make phone calls, who to make the phone calls to, and here's the call script that we're going to use to make the phone calls. Scroll on down, Jared. Folks, we're getting organized. We're going to get calls coming from all across America. Keep coming on down. There's our painted cars. There's the group. There's Hillary marching in the parade. Scroll on down. Boy, look at her. Wow. Thank God she's not president. Polly's putting all kinds of good stuff up there. But I want to show you, Jared. There it is. Hillary Clinton, 38-year history of sleaze and corruption. Folks, we got to begin to tell the truth about Hillary. We have to continue to do it. Investigation targets claim of Hillary Clinton Ukrainian collusion. That's WorldNet Daily, an article. See, you're not going to find this stuff in the mainstream media. This stuff is all out there. Hillary Clinton State Department now under investigation for Russiagate hoax. This is the Deep State Journal. This stuff is breaking every day. Multiple security incidents involving Clinton emails discovered. That's the article I'm going to bring up here in a second. Rand Paul calls for indictment of Hillary Clinton. So, folks, just because people say this is old news, it's just not true. Hillary Clinton facing jail time for this cover-up, a new report says, Deep State Journal. That's 20 hours ago that was posted. Hillary Clinton questioned by House Benghazi Committee. Former Secret Service agent exposes Hillary Clinton. On and on and on and on. Drip, 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 drip. Hillary Clinton, a career criminal. Drip, 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 drip. Clinton's infamous Benghazi comment in context. Drip, drip. Folks, you've got to share this page and get the information out because we have to create a wellspring of information. Corrupt Hillary Clinton superdelegate pleads guilty. He's headed to prison. Okay, Jared. This is Equal Justice Tour on Facebook. Please share it. Please copy a link. Put it on your Facebook page, Twitter, wherever. Share, 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 share. Now, Jared, go to the stuff I sent you, Zero Hedge. This just came out yesterday, Jared. It's the second link. New Clinton emails. new Clinton. Now, folks, come on now. Come on now. Look at this. What day is that? Why, that's 6/18/2019. Hey, boys and girls, this ain't old news. This is the Hillary Clinton saga is not old news. When the Holy Spirit told us to go to Hillary Clinton's house and we obeyed, we are over the target. The State Department revealed in a letter to Senator Charles Grassley that had identified, folks, this is yesterday. It had identified multiple security incidents committed by current or former employees who handled Hillary Clinton's emails, according to Fox News. You can scroll on down. So far, 23 violations. Back up a little bit, Jared. I'm sorry. And 7 infractions have been issued as part of a department's ongoing investigation. To this point, the department has assessed culpability to 15 individuals, some of who were culpable in multiple security incidents. This number will likely change as the review progresses. Trump says yesterday, wow, the State Department said it has identified 30, this is yesterday, so 30 security incidents involving current or former emails and the employees and their handling of crooked Hillary Clinton's emails, Donald Trump's tweet. This is really big, never admitted before, highly classified material. Will the Dems investigate this? And just scroll on down, Jared. There's a Huma. She's caught up in it. On down, on down. You can read this for yourself. And there is the letter sent to Charles Grassley about the charges. Okay, I'm going to shut up for a minute. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. We're over the target. Justice denied is justice delayed. Justice delayed is justice denied. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. This woman needs to go to jail. Friends, listen to Doug Hagman's first hour. Jared, somebody's put it here in the chat. So I put the link in the chat. Listen to the first hour of the Hagman Report, and he lays it all out, and Doug is all over it. Let me open it up. Somebody come on in here. Golly, it's 16 after already. Come on in. Because people say, Coach, you're just wasting your time, Coach. Nobody's going to get Hillary. I think somebody's on Hillary Clinton's trail, and we need to up the ante on them. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
She's starting to blame other people for investigations. Like yesterday, she put out for Rudy Giuliani from mayor from New York to be investigated.
Yeah. Well, that's one of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals is that you accuse the enemy of doing what you're doing. It's the whole thing and the whole Trump cover-up, the whole Trump thing has been accusing Donald Trump of what they did. That's one of Alinsky's rules for radicals. And believe me, the rats are going to begin to leave the ship. Somebody else, come on in.
Yeah, he just reminded me of the time when I was in. I was a higher communication above top secret. And if I did that, I'd be in Fort Leavenworth. You keep reminding. Keep it up, Coach. Keep it up.
You would be in Fort Leavenworth. In fact, we know others who have been. And we just can't let this go on. Anybody else? Come on. Just regarding this, I'm going to take you somewhere else here in a second. This is important, folks. July 6th. We've got several activities planned. Please put it on your calendar. Try to join us July 6th in Chappaqua, New York. Okay. Hey, got some good news for you for once. Some good news. Jared. Excuse me. Call up Jerry Falwell there. I'm not a big Jerry Falwell fan, okay, folks? However, check this one out. Liberty University declares war on the Southern Baptist Convention and its deep state. I'm not going to read this article, but God bless Jerry Falwell Jr. Scroll on down here a little bit, Jared. I want you to understand what's going on. Progressives are causing chaos in the Southern Baptist Convention. Folks, the Southern Baptist Convention is going left. They're turning hard left. Mike Heath, isn't that where the Revoice movement is coming out of? Isn't that the Southern Baptist Convention that's deeply involved in the Revoice?
Yes, it is. There's a guy who's doing really great work to provide evidence of this happening. 30 pieces of silver is his blog. can't, his name escapes me at the moment, but it's worth your time. 30 pieces of silver. I see Jared pull it up. It's a blog that this gentleman is putting together.
Russell Moore is the guy.
Yeah. This is the blog right here. And, Thomas Littleton is his name. He's definitely worth looking up and looking into, Coach.
Okay, Thomas. Great. Okay, good. 30 pieces of silver. dot org. Not with a dot, but dot org. You spell it out. 30 pieces of silver. .org. Jared, go back to the Jerry Falwell article because I think this is significant. Roger, aren't you part of a Southern Baptist church? Isn't your church part of the Southern Baptist Convention?
Yes.
So you got to kind of aware of what's going on in the Southern Baptist. Hey, Jared, if you can make it larger so I can read it. I guess I can read it up here. Victor's got the big screen for me.
Dave, before you start, see, the progressives, they don't give up. They tried to do this 30 years ago and were defeated. They don't stop trying.
Maybe we ought to learn that lesson.
That's kind of my point. They just keep going until they prevail.
The president of Liberty University issued a stunning rebuke to the Southern Baptist Convention during Liberty's baccalaureate service Friday. Jerry Falwell Jr. accused new leaders in the SBC of taking the convention away from its conservative roots and betraying the conservative resurgence. Jerry Falwell publicly called out the leadership of the SBC. Falwell praised the conservative resurgence led by men like baccalaureate speaker Dr. Jerry Vines for help for bringing the SBC back to more accurately reflect the values of most Southern Baptist members. Falwell said that, unfortunately, a new generation, I'll be darned, has taken the convention away from the values, from those values. Falwell promised Liberty University would continue to defend its conservative values. We will continue to honor the conservative leaders who reformed the Southern Baptist Convention, and we place our hope in your generation to be the ones to step up and provide better leadership for the future, he told the graduates, Falwell was hopping mad at what is happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. He said the windows were removed. That's the whole thing about windows, blah, 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 blah. But he called it the deep state. He said the Southern Baptist Convention also has a deep state. So there's hope, man. There's hope. We ought to do all we can to support Jerry Falwell Jr. in this endeavor. And we know the watering down of the gospel is taking place everywhere, like we saw at the vineyard when we went there this weekend. So God bless Jerry Falwell. Comments? Anybody comment on that one?
I disagree, Coach. Jerry Falwell, I watch the channel from time to time, and I've heard his statements, and what the college does is as part of the deep state.
Okay. Well, but he's speaking out against it, Jeff. I mean, there may be stuff going on. It's going on everywhere. This kind of stuff's going on because of the infiltration. And I think one of the things that we've lost sight of is when guys get into positions in universities, small colleges, it doesn't matter whatever it is. When they get in, they use their influence to hire their buddies. When people become parts of universities, the deans and the provosts and all that stuff. Folks, let me tell you something. There's a very, very strong leaning. I went to Otterbein College. When I went to Otterbein College, it was Southern Methodist University. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Methodist University. Didn't mean anything to me. I was lost. It was a Methodist university that was somewhat Methodist. Today, Southern Otterbein College, it's anything but Christian. Well, they may still call themselves a Methodist university. For the most part, the Methodist church is anything but Christian. But so those people get in and then they hire their friends. And so even at Liberty University, you think about the hiring of every professor and everything that's going on. Jerry Falwell probably doesn't hire every professor. He's hired somebody else to hire. Think about the deep state in the White House. Trump's the president and he has people underneath him that are tasked to do the hiring and the firing and all that kind of stuff. And I think the same thing's probably true at Liberty University. I don't know. I don't know, Jeff. I know that Jerry Falwell's spoken out against the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm on Jerry Falwell's side on that one. Anybody else?
I'd like to make another statement. I've been a Southern Baptist since 1978. And I've seen an absolute decline of maturity and of the spreading of the gospel. It's become more of a business and getting people in, try to keep people in by becoming worldly. And I've seen it for years. And I came and saw you for the first time at the Quonset Hut. I just before then went to the Southern Baptist Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. And lo and behold, I couldn't find how much weak they are and how influenced they are from the leadership. It's just outstanding.
That's right, man. It's the weakness of the church that has allowed all of this stuff to happen to us, the weakness of the church. Somebody else.
I'm just going to say, sorry, Dave, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say that, you know, if you call and you want to support Jerry Falwell on this, then support him specifically for this issue, not for all those other issues. Because we want to, you know, we want to reward, okay, just like your dogs or your kids or whatever, you reward them for the behavior that you want them to do. And you go against them on behavior that you don't want them to do. So we got to set the right example here. So if you don't, you're not going to agree with everybody's everything. But if he's doing something that you like or something that we agree with, then we need to let him know that, about that specific, you know, laser point.
Amen.
Got to encourage him. Got to encourage him. It's the same reason why we're going to encourage you guys to call elected officials in regards to equal justice tour. Exact same reason why we're going to do that. Somebody else, come on in.
Yeah, Chad, you know, you're absolutely right. We sit here and we complain all the time that the other side is unified. They work together. Even when they disagree, they work together. And then we have an opportunity to start working together, and we start trying to pick apart a reason not to work together.
See it everywhere, Larry. We see it everywhere, buddy, that's for sure. Anyone else? Okay. Got a couple other issues. I want another good news. Another good news. Jared, go to Sanctuary City for Babies. I've been screaming this for 3 years. For 3 years. And finally it's happened. I believe Rusty Thomas was deeply involved with this. A Texas town declares itself a sanctuary city for unborn babies. This town is called Wascom, Texas. Anybody know where Wascom, Texas is? I don't know where it is. Sanctuary cities for illegal immigrants and detainees are very popular right now, particularly in progressive strongholds in California and other border states. But one Texas town has labeled itself a sanctuary city of another kind, one for the unborn. That's right. Wascom, Texas has a population of just 2,200, but it has taken a major step in the fight for life in the state. This week, the town of Wascom proclaimed itself to be a sanctuary city, not for illegal immigrants, but for unborn Americans. Wascom is just 20 miles from the Louisiana state border. Okay, so it's way out east. And is now the first Texas city to offer sweeping protections to the preborn. Wascom City Council voted unanimously this week with a new ordinance designed to prevent abortions within town lines. It also criminalized the act of performing abortions within town limits and outlawed the presence of Planned Parenthood and similar providers for operating in the town. This ordinance closely aligns with the one created in Roswell, New Mexico, which also considers itself to be a sanctuary city for unborn babies. This Wascom resolution goes a step further than the Roswell initiative because it totally bans abortion within the town limits and offers sanctions against those who break the law. Say, oh, well, what difference does that make? It's just some little town. They don't even have an abortion clinic in it to begin with. Well, to start, folks, to start. Why won't they do this in Columbus, Ohio? It's very simple. The left has seized all the power positions. While the church has stayed home and prayed about everything, prayed for the rapture, the left has been seizing these positions. Think about that right where you live. Try to get one of these things going. Let's make this a movement across America. Sanctuary cities for unborn babies. Comments on that one. I got a quiet crew today. Somebody come on in here and help me out.
I got a couple cents to throw in, Coach.
Okay, Kevin.
We got one abortion clinic left in the state of Missouri that has been found in violation of numerous health and safety codes. It's in St. Louis, and the governor, I can't believe this, but the governor is afraid, and this county sheriff is afraid to step in and do what's right and shut that dang thing down and put a piece of duct tape over this liberal activist judge that keeps letting this place stay open. Otherwise, Missouri would be the first state in the union without a abortion clinic. This place is in violation of numerous laws and safety violations, and we cannot seem to shut it down because this activist lawyer with a robe, and that's something I think I'm going to try to work on next week, is I'm going to go up and I'm going to just stand in front of this thing and do everything I can to shut the damn thing down.
Well, folks, listen, I want you to think about this a second, right? Doug Hagman made this point on his show last night. God bless Doug Hagman. He's stepping out, man. He made this point yesterday. This here, folks, is not equal justice. It is not equal justice. Hospitals, emergency rooms have certain guidelines that they must follow in order to remain open. This Planned Parenthood has had numerous health violations, and yet a terrorist in a black robe orders the building to remain open. This is unequal justice, my friends. See, the Bible says that the Lord hates unjust weights and measures. The Bible says that God himself is no respecter of persons. That if you come to the cross, if you be black and you come to the cross, you get in the family. If you be Chinese and you come to the cross, you get in the family. If you be a practicing homosexual and you come to the cross, you get into the family. If you be some zombie and you come to the cross, you get into the family. That everything is level at the cross. That is called equal justice. God is first and foremost just. And the only way that our society is going to operate is if we all live under the same set of rules. Equal justice under the law applies to more than just Hillary Clinton. But Hillary Clinton is a very, very obvious, open example of unequal justice. Can I tell you something else? The abortion clinic in Mississippi. There's one abortion clinic left in the state of Mississippi. It's in Jackson, Mississippi. It has been ordered to be closed numerous times, and a terrorist in a black robe says no. It becomes, an undue burden on women, right? Equal justice under the law. You can't let one guy off for speeding and not let another guy off for speeding, Chad. I mean, you can, but you shouldn't. It's equal justice under the law. You can't let one guy break the law and get away with it and prosecute another guy for the exact same thing. Equal justice under the law. This is becoming a theme. So here is this abortion clinic in St. Louis that is violating health codes, and the judge, a terrorist in a black robe, who's probably a left-leaning plant, has blocked all that legislation. As Mike Heath said, 40 states had marriage amendments on the books. 40 states, marriage amendments on the book, and four judges eliminated them all. That is not equal justice. It's everywhere we look, and it is the way the enemy advances its cause. Unequal justice. When we went to the gay pride parade, that homo pride parade, that deviant pride parade, when we went to that thing on Saturday, the police officers boxed us in, saying that they were going to try to protect us. They boxed us in. They couldn't have boxed. If it was a white pride parade, they couldn't have boxed in a bunch of black people and made them stay in one little space. They couldn't have done that. It's not equal justice under the law. And it's going to continue unless we stand up and push back against it. You know why we don't want to do it? Because it's wearisome. It's tiring. It requires you be in for the long haul. You may push and push and push and get no reaction at all. Why? Because the gates are under the control of the enemy. But we have to continue to push. I don't know where that rant came from, but this stuff is all tied together and is all important. It's all important.
Well, look what the state representative said. Do we kill them now or we kill them later?
Yeah. And the church is okay with it. I guess church isn't okay with it, but the church is okay with it. But see, the church is in the midst of it, right? Church is right smack dab in the midst of it. Cool. Nobody else?
Coach, we're pushing on the easiest target that's actually going to break everything that you're talking about. If we break it, if we pull on that string and it comes, that string comes out, the rest of it's going to unravel. And then all the pushing and all the force is going to be worth the effort, the time, and the energy that's invested in it.
Matt, we have to ask ourselves this. Do we believe that it's important enough to fight for? That's really what it comes down to. It doesn't come down to whether we can win. It doesn't come down to whether we have the money. It doesn't come down to whether we have the time. It comes down to one thing. Do we think it's worth fighting for? Is this a fight that the Holy Spirit would be involved in? Is this a fight that the Holy Spirit would be able to honor? And I believe it is. I believe it is.
Of course it is. It's life. It's life, which the Holy Spirit represents, or it's death, which is what Satan represents.
And it's honesty or dishonesty. It's all equal at the cross. That's the theme of the cross. Whosoever will. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will. It is all level at the cross. God doesn't let me off for a crime that he lets that he punishes Matt for. He doesn't do it. And the lie in the homosexual community is, well, if he's a loving God, why would he create me in a way with a condition that he would punish me for? What kind of God would do that? Well, dude, he didn't create you in that. Male and female created he thee. Okay, here it is. Here's a video. Jared pulled up Keith Hansen. Keith Hansen made a three-minute video off of the Hagman Report the other night. And folks, here's some common sense. Our cities, our governments, in regards to the sexual stuff, has gone absolutely bonkers. We don't even have any common sense anymore. And why don't we have any common sense? Because we, the church, we're supposed to be the guardian. We're supposed to be the one who steps in the gap. We're supposed to be the restraining. And we got our message so mixed up. Keith Hansen does this brief three-minute video. Jared's got it ready. Just on the science. The science. Just on the science. Do it, Jared.
This up headline, Vermont opens door for gender-affirming surgery for transgendered youth.
Hang on.
Reading from the article, Vermont.
Oh, Jared. Folks, sit down a minute. Gender changing surgery on a 14-year-old, on a 15-year-old. What? Let me stop you. I read this somewhere. I can't remember who wrote this. You know, anybody has anorexia or had it or fraught with it or bulimia? There's eating disorders. Did you ever deal with somebody that had one of those eating disorders? And no matter what you said to them, they thought they were fat. And you say, no, you're not fat. Oh, yeah, I got stuff here. I got to get, yeah. No matter what, and you look at them, and they don't eat, and they're bulimic. They go back and they vomit because they don't want. So let's say somebody came along to you, your child came to you and says, they were bulimic and said, mom, I'm fat. I don't know what to do. I'm fat. And my mom said, oh no, honey, you're not fat. No, you look just fine. No, mom, I'm fat. Look, mom, everywhere I look fat. So the child looking into the mirror saw that he was fat. He wasn't fat, but he saw that he was fat. How many parents who have a child who is bulimic would encourage your child not to eat? Say, well, that's who you feel you are. I mean, that's, you know, God made you with a perfectly normal, good-looking body. But if you think you're fat, if that's what you think in your mind that you're fat, well, then we'll help starve you to death. It's crazy, right? Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Huh? So if these people think they're homosexual, well, they are homosexual, right? They are. They think they're transgender. They are. But shouldn't some of us with a little bit more sense recognize it as an illness? This is a sickness. He's not fat. Why won't he eat? Why does he go in the room? In fact, don't people who have children who are bulimic, don't they go get them? I hate to tell you this. Psychological or spiritual help? Because it's obvious to everyone else that they're not fat, but they're convinced they are. Go ahead and play Keith Hansen.
Planning to tweak Medicaid rules so transgender youth no longer have to wait until age 21 to seek, quote, gender-affirming surgery. The changes are aimed at removing barriers for people seeking a suite of surgeries in order to alleviate gender dysphoria, a conflict between a person's gender identity and physical gender. That's according to Nyssa James, policy director for Vermont's Department of Health Access. Gender-affirming surgeries covered by Medicaid include 16 types of genital surgery, as well as breast augmentations and mastectomies, a surgery that removes the whole breast. The new rule proposed at the end of May eliminates an age minimum and permits youths under age 18 to get surgeries with informed consent from a parent or guardian. In human beings, there are two sexes, male and female. Approximately 99.93% of human beings have either XX, those would be female sex chromosomes, or XY sex chromosomes, that would be a male. The remaining 0.7%, plus or minus, are mutations. Possessing chromosomes of one sex but thinking you're another, identifying as, is a psychological disorder. And this is where I get a little bit confrontational. Sex reassignment surgery does not change a person's biological sex. It is genital mutilation, nothing more and nothing less.
Amen.
It is genital mutilation. Now, we say genital mutilation is absolutely abhorrent. It is disgusting. It is horrible. You saw the clitoris off a five-year-old girl in a sub-Saharan African nation. This is incredible. This is horrible.
Right.
But we allow perfectly healthy teenage boys to now get breast augmentation and castration procedures. And we allow perfectly healthy teenage girls to receive mastectomies and hysterectomies. Can you imagine being a 35 or 40-year-old person wanting desperately to have a family as a man, but you can't do that because at 16 years of age, not only your parents, but a physician allowed you to carry out a medical procedure based on an immature juvenile whim, and now you have mutilated your body sexually to the point that you cannot obtain pleasure sexually, nor can you reproduce as a male. You know, actions have consequences, Doug, but we think about this. Oh, no, we have to appease right now. Oh, the 16-year-old thinks he's a girl, but he's a biological boy. Oh, we have to take the steps necessary to make him feel good about himself. Yet scientists all agree. You know, it's amazing. We can use the term settled science when it comes to climate change. But when we use the term settled science when it comes to human sexuality, oh, that's just your opinion. It's not my opinion. It's biology. There's male, there's female, and there's people who are screwed up in the head. Go get yourself psychological counseling. But anybody who permits a child to undergo genital mutilation surgery should be prosecuted and imprisoned. Period. End of story.
Amen, Keith Hansen. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. What's happened to us? Jared, go to Romans 1. I'm going to show you what happened to us, okay? Now, we've read this many, many times on this show. I want to try to get you to understand this. Folks, listen. Okay. It's all spiritual. Do you know the church must not understand spiritual issues? Pastors must not understand it. Really, really and truly, when it gets right down to it, pastors must not understand how the spiritual world, especially the dark side, influences. It's the only thing I can explain. They don't get it. There's no such thing, almost no such thing as a psychological disorder anymore, unless you happen to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, now you got a psychological disorder. But if you want to have your wiener whacked off, you're not. No, that's perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal. So Romans chapter 1, I'm going to show you. I'm going to walk you through this. First, starting verse 17, Jared. Let's analyze this here a second. Now, Barack Obama called this right here a obscure verse in Romans. That's what Barack Obama said, our president. Our what was he? The sexually deviant Muslim freak, if I dare I say it. Consider the spirit now, okay? Paul said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not love. It's not love, it's power. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that believes. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where's the righteousness of God revealed, folks? The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. What was the gospel of Christ? Well, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when you're in a kingdom of God, you now are in a different environment, different set of rules, different set of regulations, different set of do's, different set of don'ts. It's the ability to be able to live your life in this world, part of being part of another kingdom. So therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The just shall live for faith. For the wrath of God is, by the way, what do they call that? Is. That's a present tense, is it not? Is that not a present tense? Go back up the top, Jared, because it says, hang on, freeze it right there, Matt. For I'm not ashamed of the, buddy, I'm sorry. For therein is the righteous God. No, stop. Anyway, is a present tense. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God's being revealed from heaven against who? Who is the wrath of God being revealed against? Folks, homosexuality, transgenderism, all these sexual deviancies are the wrath of God being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, how can you hold the truth in unrighteousness? Stay with me. Because that which may be known of God is obvious. Hey, boys, pull down your pants. Girls, pull down your pants. You know it's obvious. All right? That's who you are. Because that which is known of God is obvious, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Understand, it's the judgment of God, but they know better because why? They can pull down their pants and see they have a ding, my ding-a-ling, my ding-a-ling. They can see it. It's obvious to them. So they are without excuse. And what happens to them is they come to mommy and daddy and they say, mommy and daddy, my ding-a-ling don't feel like a ding-a-ling. My ding-a-ling, I feel like I'm a girl. And mommy and daddy join in and say, oh, my goodness, you're right. Your ding-a-ling was on the wrong body. It was all done wrong. And don't ever forget, folks, that this all the wrath of God being displayed against all ungodliness, all of it. Because that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. What? Yeah. And their foolish heart was darkened. They fall into that trap of homosexuality, and their heart gets more and more darkened. And then what happens? You go to the gay pride parade, professing themselves, they become wise. To be wise, they become fools. They got it all right. You're dumb because you believe in some God in the sky and some guy who wrote a bunch of old stuff in the book, but they're wiser than you. They're much wiser than you. But we look at them and say, you're a fool, man. You're a fool, but what's the problem? Well, we're now joining in their foolishness. We want to help them get gender reassignment surgeries as if that's even possible to change DNA. And they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, they created these idols, these things, these worship. But by the way, they became animalistic in their behavior. That's a mic drop if there ever was one. They let their Peter rule their life. Ruled by their genitals. So wherefore then, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Well, what would that be? Folks, this is spiritual. Don't you understand? Can't we see this? That this is spiritual? He gave them up to cleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. To do what? To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And now we have doctors and psychiatrists who are going to cut off the genitals of 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids. Medicare going to pay for it. Who has lost their mind? Those who, they dishonored their own bodies between themselves. How do you do that? What does it mean to dishonor your own body between themselves? See, I can dishonor my own body and it doesn't affect you. I can go out and put tattoos on me. I can inject my body. I paint my face up. I can tattoo myself. It doesn't affect you. But this says here that they dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And how'd that happen? Well, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped themselves. Wanted to meet their own desires. They worshiped, they became their own gods. They worshiped themselves. And then likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. What does that mean? They don't let them wash dishes? Is that what it is? Natural use of the woman to do laundry? Is that what the natural use of the woman is? Is that what they're referring to? No. No, the men. But remember, folks, the wrath of God is revealed. This is the judgment of God. This is the judgment of God. Judgment isn't coming because of this. This is the judgment. And likewise, also men leaving the natural use of women burn in their lusts one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, watch, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due them. See, when they began to act upon this perverse, it is who they became. They received it in themselves. I don't know of any other group that so identifies by their sexual organs as the sexually deviant crowd. They totally and completely identify themselves by the way they use their plumbing. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's why they hated you, Jeff. That's why they come and bang those drums. That's why they do it. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't even want to hear it. God said, okay, and he gave them over to a reprobate mind. What's a reprobate? Jared, maybe we can look that up real quick here in Webster's. Reprobate. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. Not enduring proof or trial. Not of standing purity or fineness, disallowed, rejected, abandoned in sin, lost to virtue or grace, abandoned to error. God abandoned them. Folks, I'm sorry. God has abandoned them. To disapprove with detestation of marks of extreme dislike, to disallow, to reject, to express more than disapprove or disallow. Disallow, to abandon to wickedness and eternal destruction, to abandon his sentence without hope of pardon. Hey, I didn't write that word, reprobate. I didn't write that. Holy Scriptures wrote reprobate. Let's go back there, Jared. And even God, they like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to what? His judgment. He's gave them over. They're going to do it. Okay, you're going to do what you want to do. You go do it. Doing those things which are not convenient. I'd say so. Anal sex ain't very convenient. I can't be very convenient. Women strapping on dildos, that ain't very convenient. Sorry. Being filled with all unright. Who? This is the judgment of God. It's not coming. This is it. These people are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. They would have killed us Saturday if they could have. Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, pride parade, boasters, inventors of evil things. Yeah, surgeries to genitally mutilate 15-year-old kids. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. They don't even love their babies. They want to murder their babies. That ain't even natural. Folks, this is the judgment of God. Implacable, unmerciful. Watch. Here we come into the scene. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Paul said they're worthy of death. Paul, New Testament, Paul said they're worthy of death. We not only do the same, but we accept them into our libraries and into our churches. We have pleasure in them that do them. This is the judgment of God. 5 minutes left. Come on in.
Coach, this is Joseph.
Yes.
I like to give you guys a different outlook of what the federal penal system does. We have convicts in there that they seem that using the translation of sexual change is a physical and psychological problem with them. And they try to tie our courts up to have sexual changes so they can get a lesser sentence because of psychological problems they're having. And I couldn't tell you how many that are involved with this kind of change, this entire courts.
Listen, this is the result of godless courts.
Yeah. See,
this is the result of godless courts. When we judge, remember they tell us that we're not to judge? We're to judge righteously, folks. Our courts no longer judge righteously. Why don't the courts judge righteously? Because there's no standard of righteousness. There's no standard. They've removed God. They've removed the Bible. They've removed any standard of it. Is justice now becomes individual. Whatever is good for you is good for you. Whatever is good for me is good for me. Who am I to judge? Who am I to tell somebody else what they can do with their own body? They've taken the Constitution. They've turned it into licentiousness. Jared, that's a word worth looking up. Licentiousness. I've got to hurry here. We've only got a couple minutes. L-I-C, no S, I don't think. L-I-C, yeah, there you go, licentious. Using license, indulging freedom to excess. Freedom to excess, unrestrained by law or morality, loose, dissolute, as a licentious man, exceeding the limits of law or propriety, wanton, unrestrained, as in licentious desires, licentious thoughts. See, they use the law to do what the law does not permit them to do. They use freedom to as I once heard Alan Keyes say, Constitution gives us the right to do right. It gives us no right to do wrong. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. There are no unalienable wrongs, folks. But our Constitution has been flipped on its head because Christianity has been flipped on its head. And now we have what? We have constitutional wrongs. We have the right to constitutional wrongs. Licentiousness. That's where we are. Didn't mean to cut you off, Joseph. I just thought it was important that I get that in. Anybody else? Exceeding the limits of the law, licentiousness.
Coach, it comes back to two standards. We have to stand to be absolute standard, or we are a compromise standard. So that's what the Word of God is. That's what the Holy Spirit is, absolutely absolute. So that's every Christian has to make this decision, whether I want to be all in or just a watered down. And that's what Larry has to point out a lot. Is most Christians don't want to be absolute. And that's the problem. It all starts right there, Coach.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, who would like, I just got a text from Mark Trump. Mark Trump's been having stomach issues. And he just texted me. He's heading to the hospital right now. Who would who'd like to lift our brother up in prayer?
I'll do it. Just Chad, I'll do it.
Good, Chad.
All right, Heavenly Father, we boldly come to the throne of grace. We ask the great physician, you, Lord Jesus, to put your healing upon Mark and allow him not to succumb to the pain, to have a greater tolerance of this. And then we ask for you to the doctors and the treatment down there to be able to find this and cure him immediately. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're praying for you, Mark. Let's be praying for him all day. He was complaining about that all weekend. Vic prayed for him, and so it's been hanging on to him here for quite a while. So we break its power in Jesus' name. Touch him and heal him, Lord, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Don't miss tomorrow. It's going to be a great show. See you then.